Morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. It was good to join you yesterday for your straw bear, and first time I've been, actually. Yes, I know. I mean, how on earth did you miss that? Well, we've had COVID and everything else. So I've heard of the legend of straw bear, and I wasn't quite sure, having had the invitation, what I'd be up to, whether they've built a massive wicker tower or something like that and invite me to stand. Forgive the reference. I can't, it's a bit strange. But it was lovely to come and join you. As we parked up, we were walking past the Morris dancers in the square, and we were making our way here, which was good, because Rose said, oh, look, they're drawing other people in from the crowd. I thought, I'm not going anywhere near that. Not in a million years. But it was lovely to join you here and to see so many people here. And also, big word of thanks to everyone, because I was able to have conversations with people, quite poignant conversations. Some folks are here today who've been thinking about coming to church, which is just lovely to be able to make that initial connection with people. But also, yes, I got shouted out of the kitchen within seconds. It was like, don't even think about it, Langley, because it's usually my first port of call, but for good reason, because it was very busy. But also, a big word of thanks for everyone, but I think Ruth in particular did fantastic, since the storyteller didn't turn up. And wow, talk about resource that we were able to draw from there, those years of experience. Ruth just told some of the stories about the straw bear and about children and the straw bear, and it was really interesting, really entertaining, really engaging. We even had questions afterwards, and then we kind of thought, well, that's it, Ruth survived. Yeah, well, let her have a rest. No, because you did a second one, didn't you? So it was really, really good. It was really, really good to be able to join people. And I was fascinated by the history of it. Some people go, oh, you know, straw bear, it's pagan. I'm thinking, we're not talking some blend of two different faiths here or anything like that. We're not talking about Mardi Gras going on here. We're not talking about a blend of Catholicism and some other spiritual kind of... No, this is kind of something that's the roots of our rural identity. I didn't realise... And I have heard this in other spaces as well, where kind of Plough Sunday was also the Sunday, or the Monday afterwards, was the place where those who were looking for work on the land, that they would gather on that day. And in some places they'd be picked up. So no wonder there's going to be a celebration, because some of them would have been in the workhouse for the months previously. So it's a point of celebration. And I didn't realise about the darkened faces. I'm not sure about this, but... You know, one account sort of says, well, actually, because people needed the energy and because people have been poor, actually, they were looking for help from others. They were looking for donations. They would go door to door. And so the faces would be darkened and the identity would be concealed because of the shame of that. OK, so there's something really deep in all of this. But above all, as per our community sort of survey, when we asked people, you know, how do you experience God? Well, one of the first and strongest things that came back, it was through creation. Through the understanding that, you know, and the observation that the Lord is behind the seasons and growth is a miracle. So anyway, that's wonderful. Good to see you there. A couple of notices this morning. Second thing is, it is good to welcome new people. And Paul and Becky here, who are sat at the front for good reason. This is a covenant service. This is where we have the opportunity to affirm our faith and to renew our commitment to God. But Paul and Becky, as you may know, have joined us quite recently from a Methodist church elsewhere, although we're two denominations working in partnership here. And Paul and Becky are being transferred in. Now, I could do that, as you know, really quickly, really easily. But it's important that we recognise the new people that are coming to us, and we thank God for that. So there's just a moment where I'll present Paul and Becky to you. And also, if you've been coming for some time, some of you have, she's otherwise engaged over there. There are new people, and it's just wonderful to be at that point where we're thinking about, well, how do we help people come to Queen Street and say, this is my spiritual home? You know, because that's what membership's about. You know, this is my spiritual home, and to be living as a disciple in this place, to be living and loving others, and to be loved yourself, and to be supported yourself by others. So do pray, because I tell you what's happening, it's actually really quite challenging, but the nice challenge. In another church, I've got five people of which I'm pretty certain that four, and somebody's really new through the door, that's why I'm a bit reserved, who are interested in membership. But they all communicate in such different ways. And the one thing that they all do together is they all do actually receive mobile phone texts. So it's mad. I never had this before. But I'm actually, the challenge is, how do we help people feel welcomed, and how do we introduce the kind of basics of faith to those who want it? But also, some of us come and they may well have been to another church, so that there's a difference, like welcome to the strange and wacky sort of world of Methodism or Joint Methodist United Reformed. You know, how do we do that? So I would really appreciate your prayers. But also, there's others as well in our own congregation here, so you're going to get an email from me, because I do know people are on email. If you're interested, if you go to peterborough methodistcircuit.org, one of the things I thought, oh, that's going to be helpful now, peterborough methodistcircuit.org, is there's a little, if you go to the front page, you'll see there's on being a Christian, there's a tab, and it says what we believe. Because actually, we don't always talk about what we believe and cover some of the basics, and it's an easy place for people to go. So peterborough methodistcircuit.org, okay? If you're interested to know what, precisely what it is that we believe. Now, moving on. It is Covenant Sunday, and there should be a wry smile from some people, because this is the most traditional you're going to see me all year, because some of you know me. But you can't really mess with Covenant service. I hope you've got a book here. We're going to run through our prayers, these carefully crafted prayers that have really helped people through the generations. And it's an opportunity to affirm our faith. And thanks in advance to those who are reading and those who are praying. Who's praying today? Who's offering our prayers for others, Lynn? Is it? Do you know who's doing that? Is that me? Probably me. Right, yeah. Welcome to organise. No, actually, we're really organised here. So thank you to everyone who's helping out. And we'll proceed unannounced, you know, because we know what's happening in front of us. But these words are sacred and crafted. And we shall have a moment of silence before we announce our first hymn. So we sing the hymn 455, that's if you're having Sing the Faith book, but the words are on the screen. All my hope on God is founded, and then we shall pray, and then we shall hear our readings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do be seated. So we're going to join together in our prayers. You might have seen our younger ones at front today. I do like the younger ones being at front. It means you can't kind of overlook them. But as you can see, here's one I prepared earlier. But we are remembering here on our kind of youth table, remembering the presence of the Spirit and the voice of God at the baptism of Jesus. And we pray today that indeed the heavens would open and that God would be revealed to us, that we would hear God's guidance and we would sense God's Spirit. Let's join together in our prayers. Glory to the Father, the God of love, who created us, who continually preserves and sustains us, who's loved us with an everlasting love and given us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Blessing be God forever. Glory to Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who though he was rich, yet for our sake became poor and was tested in every way as we are, yet without sin, who proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, who was raised from the dead and is alive forever, who has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who trust in him, who is seated at God's right hand in glory and will come to be our judge. Blessed be God forever. Glory to the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, by whom we are born into the family of God and made members of the body of Christ, whose witness confirms us, whose wisdom teaches us, whose power enables us to do more than we can ask or think. Blessed be God forever. To the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory forever. Amen. God of grace, through the mediation of your Son, you call us into a new covenant, a new relationship, a new start, a new beginning. Help us, therefore, to draw near with faith and join ourselves in a perpetual covenant with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we hear our readings from the law, from the prophets, from the epistles, and from Mark's Gospel.
A reading from the law. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 10 to 15. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives, and the foreigners living in your camps, who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here today in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day, and sealing with an oath, to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God, as he promised you, and he has sworn to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you, who are standing here with us today, in the presence of the Lord, our God, but also with those who are not here today. For the wisdom that guides us, we praise you, O God.
I have two readings for you this morning. A reading from the prophets, Jeremiah 31 to 34, and a reading from epistles, Romans 12, 1 to 2. Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. For the word that inspires us, we praise, O God. A second reading is from Epistles, Romans 12, 1 to 2. A reading from the Epistles. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For the truth that enlightens us, we praise you, O God.
And we sing the hymn, Will You Come and Follow Me? Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Do be seated. We hear our gospel reading.
A reading from the gospel according to Mark, and it's chapter 14, verses 22 to 25. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Hear the gospel of Christ.
I thought I might share with you today, just to uplift you all, because it would only happen to Reverend Langley. I thought I would share with you today the worst day so far in this year. Up for it? Yeah, okay, yeah, because you can all laugh at my experience, but hopefully learn something yourself. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start. This was last Monday, and I have to say, the first thing you're going to see is, in terms of kind of days not panning out as we'd initially intended, there are things and experiences in life that are far worse than what I had to kind of endure and find my way through. But it was last Monday, worst day of the year so far. I'll start out by telling you what should have happened. Okay, I'll tell you about my plans. That's a good idea. Okay, so it was a simple day. The day began at 7:15 in the morning. Sometimes I refer to that as 0715 or 0715. What does the O stand for? Oh dear God, please give me strength. I'm really tired, but I've got to remind everyone that morning prayers are happening. For those of you who are able to follow us, you'll know that we have live stream morning prayers for me on a Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, and Matt leads it on a Wednesday, if he's able to. Tuesday. Oh, thanks, see, they're already there. They're already there. It's going well, I feel. But anyway, it's an 0715. Oh, please, you know, it depends how much I've tried to burn the midnight oil, you know, on the Sunday night or whatever. But, so, That was relatively straightforward. That's the first thing to do with my day. The second thing I had lined up with my day is I thought I really do need to get some exercise. No comments, please. Do my best. I really need to get some exercise, and I can fit that in first thing. Because around about 11:30, I'd moved a meeting earlier, and I was due to meet with he's really like my prayer partner, Reverend Charles. He's a retired minister. He's only just retired. A good friend. And I hadn't seen him since before Christmas. And it's kind of both a prayer partner and, if I'm honest, is a bit of a kind of spiritual guide, you know, although that's a kind of quite an airy term, isn't it? But he's somebody, he's a good colleague, a good friend, just retired, and we were due to meet somewhere for coffee, oddly enough. And so that was going to happen at about 11:30. I thought, actually, if I get myself sorted properly, I can go from morning prayer, shoot out the door, drive to go to Burley House for a run, which is about 20 minutes, do my half-hour run, come back, and if I've got a change of clothes in the car, that's straightforward, I'll go and see Reverend Charles, have some time with him. And then there was this critical engagement, really important engagement. Sarah, who's the booking secretary at Westgate New Church, had said to me, "Can you open up for a group of pensioners who are wanting... needed to be let in the building. They're wanting to use our building. Usually there's someone in the building, but on this occasion there wasn't. Can I let them in?" Very simple. Of course, that came through. Of course I can do that, Sarah. That's not a problem. Actually came through with a kind of, "I don't want to trouble you." That's not a trouble or a difficulty. They also needed the key and they needed the code. So in other words, if I didn't get there, it would have been a little bit of a problem, because I would have had a group of wonderful pensioners who were in the cold and not where they should be, which is not really where we want to arrive in the life of the church. You with me so far? Simple plan. Simple plan. Okay, let me tell you what things did work first thing in the morning. The 0715 and the little reminder that prayers is happening and morning prayers. Morning prayers on Monday was lovely. We had a good crowd there, about a dozen online. and we had some really meaningful prayer, and that's where the day was right. The next thing I thought is, right, okay, if you're going to go out for your run, you need to bring your change of clothes, full change of clothes. You might know if you need them or not, and everything you need. So full change of clothes gets ready to go in the car. You need the church key, because nobody else, when you move on from that meeting with Charles, nobody else there is going to have a church key. You have to get in the church. Straightforward, isn't it? Church key. Remember the church key. Okay. Pack that all up in the car. Drove down to Burley. And the first thing that happens is I open my emails. A really bad idea, wasn't it? Open my emails. Now, we've all had disappointing emails, but I had a really gutting, disappointing email, because I've been working for some time to have a meeting with some other church leaders to talk about the future of the church. And it's something that I was heavily invested in, I prepared for, and suddenly this email came in. I'm really sorry, we've had to cancel that. And you know, it doesn't really matter what it is, but you know when there's something you're really looking towards and you've invested in it and you really want to do it? Well, that was, sorry, this can't happen. We don't actually know when we're going to be able to do it. And my heart just sank, because I'd worked really hard. In fact, I'd worked some of the night before on it. So I was a bit disappointed about that. And then I did my usual thing, which is, if I'm sitting in the car and getting ready for a run, take all the keys out that I've got on me, because the only two things I run with are my mobile phone, just in case I get into difficulty, my mobile phone and the car key. Everything else stays in the car hidden. So I searched for all my keys, and then I realised that I didn't have the church key on me. Okay, so I'm 20 minutes away from home. That's, you know, I'm about to go, I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, there's no way that you can move from this one meeting to the other to go and pick these veterans up. You find the key. Do you know where the key is? And by then I'm like, where's the key? You know, do I know where the key is? So I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And I even went at that point, I went, God, what are you doing to me? Which is a lot in that, really. I think there might be something of this more, and I'll crack a little bit more open about that. About, well, is that really the person? Do you really? There's no reason to hold God personally accountable for this, Langley. Maybe we have our own common sense that perhaps we have to. Anyway, so to cut a long story short, thought, you're going to have to cut your losses. You're going to have to fit your run in at another time, your exercise in another time. Get in the car, go back home, go back to base, find that church key, and then you can carry on with your day. So for those of you who know the area, drove out of Burley, drove towards the Helpston level crossing, you know it? 50 metres before the Helpston level crossing, the level crossing kind of comes down. Which is okay, that's okay, I'd planned for that, okay? Level crossing comes down, and like any other responsible car driver, what do? Turn the engine off. Absolutely. Sat there, waited for the train to come back. Went to turn the engine back on, nothing. I thought, I'm now sat here thinking that, A, there's my prayer partner, who I haven't seen in ages, who doesn't own a mobile phone, by the way. That's a helpful thing, you know, because he's like an Old Testament prophet, but we won't go there. I've got my prayer partner, who was sitting in a place where we were going to have for coffee, who doesn't know where I am. I've got a group of people who can't get into a building unless I meet them, but that wasn't till 1:45 that I had to meet them. And I've got a car that's a 1.5-ton Land Rover that's not going to go anywhere. So, of course, well, what do you do? Well, I thought I had to. I made a couple of calls. I left a message on Charles's answer machine just so that he knew, but there was no way he was going to get it. I thought, if you know, you have those friends and you think, they're always going to think the best of you and your situation if you don't turn up. Charles is like one of those. But he would be worried. He would be worried. Like, is Langley okay? So tried to do that. Thought, let's assume you can get to 1:45 and you can get home. But obviously you're going to have to call the breakdown service, aren't you? So I called the breakdown service. That wasn't too bad, because the last time we called the breakdown service and Ro called it, they gave Ro a bit of a run around. But this time, with me and the car, I managed to surf through and remember, you know, like, what's the number? Like, is it in my dashboard? No. You know, so fortunately I had internet service. Find out, you know, who my breakdown insurer was. Phoned them up. That was relatively simple, apart from I had the whole line of security questions. You know, firstly, when I said my car, Reg, and the type, I thought, OK, he's not going, we haven't got your car on the system, because I was panicking, you know, or whatever. He's got your car on the system, OK. And then it was like, can you confirm your address? So I gave us our address, 76 Gunthorpe Road, and he goes, that's not the one I've got. And I'm like, oh, no. And I thought, well, the only thing they've done is, I said, 7 Worcester Close, which is where we used to be. He said, yes, that's it. He says, but there are just a few security questions I've got to go through. Anyway, I was like, I'm sat there 50 metres before a level crossing in the middle of the road with the car not going anywhere, with the hazard lights on, thinking this is not a comfortable place to be, whilst he's going, yes, and can you confirm your date of birth, please? And is there anyone else on the policy? Yes, my wife. Can you confirm her date of birth, please? I thought, we're okay there. I thought, if it goes towards, can you confirm the date that you were married? I'm stuffed. You know, well, the date's all right, but the year I had to ask the other day, you know, but you get my drift. So we got through that. And I did think to myself, right, what are you going to do? You're going to have to. So the breakdown truck, and I thought, you're going to get towed out here. There's no other way you're going to go than getting towed out with a Land Rover, really. Or they got enough charge, actually, in the car that I could follow. And the guy's given me some advice. And I thought, because my Land Rover, it's got 201,000 miles on the clock. It's been really reliable. But basically, I thought, if the electrics go, the engine's still moving, so it will be all right, won't it? No. No. So to cut a long story short, it went about 3/4 of an hour for this lovely kind of guy from the rescue company to come along, give me enough power, said, well, my boss actually is not going to warrant the cost of a low loader, but I reckon I can follow you in. By the time I'd phoned ahead to the garage we used, which is only about 5 miles away, by the time I got to the final junction, there was no power. Well, all the lights went on to start off with. I thought, hello. Every single light went up on the dash at one point. And then all the lights went out. And on the final roundabout, I had no power steering. I had no indicator. I had nothing. And it literally ground to a halt. So there we are. So, OK, we're in a safe place. And I thought, what are you going to do? Phone a taxi. Meanwhile, whilst I was waiting, I'd been phoning round just about everyone at Westgate New Church to say, has anyone else got a key? Because I'm stuck here. I've got no car. I can't go anywhere else. And to cut a long story short, Sarah, the booking secretary, has so conscientious in her role that she'd already asked everyone else, which is why she'd asked me. So it's no use you phoning round, Langley. It's on you, mate. And you don't even know if you've got the key yet. So anyway, no, it would happen to me on that date, full change of clothes, full remove everything from the back of my car, which, by the way, is the largest recycling bin in Cambridgeshire, right? To be there, and they were really good to me at the garage, phone the taxi company, by the way, couldn't find the garage in the first place, get in the taxi, go back home, and to my relief, I had hung the church key up on the house hooks, and straight away I could see that there, and I was like, oh, thank the Lord, thank you, God. And I had 15 minutes to have a cup of tea before it's on your bike, son, off you go, you're going to Westgate New Church and you're opening up. And then I opened up, and when I opened up, I have to say, because it was the one thing that had actually gone right in the day, I was the most welcoming, I hope to be welcoming and caring, but I was like really relishing, this poor group of wonderful pensioners were kind of like, you know, I was really relishing the opportunity, probably over-enthused, it's so good to see you, you know, type stuff. So that was my worst day of the year so far. And there's a little twist in it that I'll tell you in a moment. But I thought, what might be helpful, because we all go through difficult experiences like that, is in the light of the covenant readings, what do the scriptures have to say to us when we reflect back on that kind of experience? That's right. Claire knows what's coming in a minute, as I bear all. But the first thing is that covenant in Jeremiah is about a gathering of God's people where we remember that we journey with God and that God journeys with us, and we recommit to that journey. And we do it annually here in a covenant service. But it is a mere reflection of what should be happening anyway. And the one thing that went right that day was morning prayers, where we gathered together and we remembered that even though our journey is a personal journey, we support each other on that journey in faith. And the prayers are so intimate in the best possible use of that word. You know, people praying, and there's some good things there. There's new life that we're celebrating, new people coming to church, but there's also prayers for people who are going through cancer treatments. There's concerns about what's happening in the world. There's a depth, there's an intimacy. And the first thing we got right is that this Christian faith, it's not something that we can only hold personally. We have to do it with other people. So that was the first thing that was the good start to the day. Remember, the day is God's, belongs to God's, and then you try and make sense of it. Okay, so this idea of, you know, remembering that we're on a journey, we're all on a journey, we know where we're heading, and sometimes things come up for a bit of surprise, but God is always there. God is always there. Even when, I think actually the initial kind of prayer that I pray, God, why are you letting this happen to me? Well, actually, at least it's an admission that God's there, but why are you letting it happen to me? Well, maybe there is something in our planning where we need to take responsibility. So that's a mere reflection from, you know, the Deuteronomy, the gathering. We got that bit right. And I wonder what happens if you don't gather in that way. I wonder what happens. You see, it's a bit like one of the things about exercise is it's really good for lowering your stress relief, lowering your anxiety. And when you first stop running, it's really good. It can feel really good because you've got all this space. You don't have to worry about it, particularly if you're like me and you were training and running quite a lot before. But then after about 3 or 4 weeks, it catches up with you. And you suddenly think, oh, hang on a sec here, I'm feeling much more anxious or stressed than I used to. It's like that with our prayer journey. It's exactly like that. You can think, oh, I don't have to go to morning prayers. Oh, I'm not going to go to church today. But after a while, it will catch up on you because there's something happening at the deepest kind of level where our prayers and the prayers of others is sustaining a resonant faith that actually helps us see through when things are difficult. You know, and I did think, actually, this is when it first happened, when I realised I didn't have the church key, I thought, this is a change to your day, but it will be manageable. So that's a reflection on Jeremiah reading, and then the Deuteronomy reading, and then we move on to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah speaks of a clear understanding that faith will become natural within us. We don't always get things right on the journey. And Jeremiah is known as a prophet of doom and gloom, sadly. Probably aware about that. But then he does bring kind of a glimpse of good news. So God's people face judgment because they are they're failing to honour God. They're worshipping other prophets and they're not loving their neighbour. And so the early part of Jeremiah is full of warning. But then we hear this wonderful promise of a heart renewed. And another phrase you might have been familiar with is heart of stone and the heart of flesh and the heart of vision. And God has a plan for our life. And like this kind of thinking around plans really important. Because I sat there and the other piece of analysis would say, well, never mind your plans for your day. Sometimes our plans don't work out, but actually it's God's plans that are more important. You know. And I did think in that moment, what we can do is continue to give this day to God. Does that make sense? You know, this is still God's day. And I'm not going to get caught into, well, was it God's plan that I forgot the church key? Because I'm not sure that's a helpful place to go around. But I do know that in every moment and every time, I can be the best of who I am, which I hope is the best of who God wants me to be. And it's God's plan in the moment that counts. The reading from Romans is really interesting and speaks to me because it says we offer our lives as a living sacrifice to God as an act of worship. So what does that mean in that kind of scenario? It means that wherever you are, you offer and you are the best of yourself. Every moment is sacred. Never mind your plans of what you were going to do and having to make all those phone calls and make lots of rearrangements, which, as people will know here, quite a few things in my diary get rearranged. And it expects quite a lot of other people to make adjustments, and I'm aware about that. But never mind your plans. What about my plans, says the Lord? But every moment in that awkwardness, every moment is still a moment where we're able to reflect the love of Christ. See, how I respond to that person who phones me, or I phoned, asking for help, who's got a job to do at the end of the phone. You know, how I respond, I can bless his day. I can bless the day of the company that came to tow me out. You know, and I'm very conscious about, sort of, I phone Charles and I leave a message on his answer machine and say, I'm really sorry, this is my situation. And I can be phoning around other people in the church, and from my perspective, it's a disaster, but what they're getting, what they hear, and what they hear for you is the care, is the concern. You haven't just left it, have you? So you see, in every moment, you're able to still give God the glory, and God's goodness will be seen in you, even though the day that you planned out hasn't come to fruition quite as you intended. God's still there in the mix, whatever happens. Now, here's the bit I haven't told you, as we think about particularly Jeremiah and what it is to offer our lives as a sacrifice to God, and that infers some obedience and alertness. What I haven't told you is that 3 days before I set out, the battery warning light came up on the dashboard. Now, the psychology behind this is really interesting, because Land Rovers are pretty solid vehicles anyway, and it's got 201 miles on the clock, and although it's perfectly road legal, we wanted to save costs, and we haven't corrected some faulty warnings on the dashboard. They kind of need clearing. They're there because there's a fault elsewhere. There's not a fault. So I have a park brake light that appears, and the parking brake has been absolutely checked, and we know it's all right. And there's a service light, actually, on our car that they've still got to clear. You know, these are... And I just kind of thought, when I saw the battery's light, I thought, when I saw the warning... Here, yeah, get it? When I saw the warning, I thought, ah, it's all right. It's an Andy. You'll be fine. And I was on the lookout. I was on the lookout because I was attentive every time I turned that key to think, just to listen and think, is that battery going low? And there was no sign it was going low. The only thing, and this is the most peculiar thing in the world, the only sign that I've got when all the lights on everything is that the windscreen washer wasn't quite working properly. It was just... which I now think is round about... That's to do with the fact there wasn't enough power in the battery. So when I sit there and go, God, why are you doing this to me? I think we might need to reflect on what it is to look at the warning signs and to be attentive. So part of our covenant journey is to be attentive, to say we're going to be attentive and diligent in watching out. Because I even told Ro, didn't I? I even told you. And you didn't go, get it down the garage. You just, I'm not going to blame. You see, it's easy to blame. No, my responsibility. Whose car is it? It was actually registered. No, we won't go there. But I think that's really important. So it was, on the one hand, the worst day of the year so far. But on the other hand, it turned out to be best. Didn't get much better when the garage phoned and said it's going to cost £515 to replace your alternator. But, you know. But there are people in the world who have far worse to deal with than that. Now, the final reading that I think speaks to this, and it might come as rather oblique to you, is actually the gospel reading from Mark. The sharing of the bread and the wine. Jesus giving the bread and the wine new meaning. How on earth might that be linked into this kind of account of Langley's worst day? Well, allow me to share this, that yes, Jesus gives the bread and the wine new meaning, and the Last Supper, we remember how Jesus shares those elements, becomes the basis of what we do today in Holy Communion or Mass in the life of the church, yes. But our refined understanding is that communion stands for Jesus, if you think about what's about to happen, it's the lowest possible point in his ministry. You want to talk about a bad day of the week? I know why we call Good Friday Good Friday, and I know I, you know, here we're looking at events on Maundy Thursday, but from Jesus' perspective, the events of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday are not the best days of the year. But you see, communion and remembering what Jesus says at communion is so important, because it's not what happens, the betrayal and the death on Good Friday, that of course is the good news. It's the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead and the whole story changes. So what's being said is that whenever you're at that point where you think that life can't possibly get worse and the world can't throw much more at you, you know, that could be bad, so to speak, you remember that it's at that point where the Spirit moves, and it's the turning point for God's will to be done. The Last Supper is the turning point where, despite the worst that can happen to Jesus, which is way worse than what we may encounter, although there are some really sad and difficult griefs out there, but, you know, to lose his own life potentially, this was not a good period of days. But it turns, because of the work of the Spirit, and Jesus, of course, is raised from the dead. And here's the important thing. When you think about whatever it is that you're going through, the lost set of keys, you know, the meeting that didn't work out, you're ignoring the warning signs, perhaps you can't face them. There was a little element of that with it. You know, have I got time to worry about this? When we're sharing communion, it's an anamnesis event. I bet you didn't think you'd get that. Anamnesis. Can say that after me? Anamnesis. Okay, and what it is it's remembering, it's a point in time where God's faithfulness in the past, God's presence with us now, and the fact that God will be with us in the future, they all come together. And you think about that and how that might insert itself into your life. As we share today, we remember God's presence in the past. We look back at God's faithfulness. There's plenty of history you can look back on in your own lives. So I'm not pointing, some of you look like Old Testament prophets. I'm just keeping my head down right there. You know, we can look back. We can celebrate the now. God is with us now. But also, we look to the future with hope, realizing it's God's plans that matter. And at the end of the day, was anything lost? Well, no, by the grace of God, I got there in the end. And I even got I didn't get my run in, but I got my bike in. And it was, you know? And it's, you know, would I be so careless as to sort of say it was God's intention that I forgot my keys? It was God's intention that... No. But God made use of the situation that I found myself in. And above all, I'm able to say that, yeah, God was there throughout. And may God be there with you throughout as we stand, as we make our covenant promise today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, just going to ask you just to wait for a while, just while I collect myself, and we'll look and just reflect. I'm just thinking about how, for example, we mark and just acknowledge Paul and Becky as they join us. So just a moment of silence. So, Paul, Becky, can I just invite you to come and stand? Because not for long, I know that. So we're journeying together as a church. And as we journey together, we meet fellow disciples on the road. And some of us kind of really lift our spirits. And we shouldn't be surprised, but we are surprised when people from other places come into our midst. Now, Paul and Becky, when did we meet? It's quite...
It was December, wasn't
December.
It?
December. So it was December. And in the Methodist Church, when we transfer in, you're moving simply from one congregation to another, be it joint or otherwise. And I phoned up your minister and I said, are Paul and Becky in good standing with your church? At which point he said, well, apart from the fact that they've left and we're desperate and we really miss them and we understand why they had to go, yes, they are. But Paul and Becky, I just wanted to share this opportunity, as we will do, I'm sure, with others, to welcome you properly into the family here and to acknowledge your previous experience of church. We're delighted to have you with us. But a little prayer cross for both of you. And I don't know if you want to just say a few words, Paul. I mean, I know that you bring a lot of experience, but is there anything that you'd like to say?
Thank you. Thank you. I would. Becky, you go see it, because I know you're uncomfortable. Well, first of all, thank you for the warm welcome that we enjoyed the first time that we came here, and obviously subsequent and future. We loved serving at our last church. For me, it was an admission that I am God's servant, because I was unchurched, made an impassioned prayer in 2003, after spending much of the 90s pulling against the tug that the Spirit was doing on my heart. I'm too busy. I'm busy running my own business. I'm busy bringing my children up on my own. And eventually, I made this impassioned prayer for a soulmate. And we met in person a year later. Becky's from the United States, and I travelled over there whilst my children were with their mother, who by then was in these parts of the world, and that's the connection from Kent to Wedgwood. And 2 years after that, Becky came to England as my wife, and her one condition was, you need to find me a church. I was unchurched, as I say. And I thought that I could slide in with Becky, be at the back, let her do what she did, and God had other ideas, and I've had a wonderful 16 years serving, and I look forward to serving the Lord with my new church family, with our church family. Sorry, Becky did say she wanted me to speak, so she's very comfortable, but with our church family, and thank you for the welcome.
Amen. Yeah. And I will just pray for you before we move on in our... Covenant. Do have a sit, okay, I'm not going to... let's just pray, because I think it's really important. I know we're going to have some other prayers. It's wonderful to have new folks joining us. Paul and Becky won't be the first. As I say, I had some really good conversations yesterday. Also, at this point, I think it's helpful. We will be praying for the needs of others in our service. But to highlight that this week, or certainly next week, the advert will go out for what is going to be our children, families and community worker. And so prayers please as we put that advert out and we work through the process. And thanks to the trustees for all their support there as we seek to simply be there for others. Now, we've gone on a little bit in our service, but I don't mind going on if it's so saturated with the Holy Spirit. Let's just join together. It's a boys' night out that sealed it. I think you'll find that boys' night out is called fellowship. Yes. 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 So we move on to a declaration about the Methodist Covenant. And I think it is important that we do this. And obviously our prayers of confession. And then we move on to the hymn that is familiar to many of us. Come, let us use the grace divine. And then we will step into our covenant prayer. Do be seated. Unless you want to stretch your legs, I'm conscious that not everyone is able to stand, and in some parts of the service we're invited to stand, but do be seated, just be comfortable. So I'm on page 285. Hello, you. Hello, Benjamin. God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his life, work, death and resurrection. In him all people may be set free from sin and its power and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. Let us then seek forgiveness for the sin by which we have denied God's claim upon us. Let us pray. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him, and afraid to bear the cross. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, and fail to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. We say together, have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love, in the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offences. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again and strengthen me with a willing spirit. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. And we join together in the hymn, Come, Let Us Use the Grace Divine. Do be seated. Now, I'm really encouraged by what's happening on our young people's table, and I thought it's important to acknowledge this before we move forward in our covenant prayer. So we're remembering here the baptism of Jesus by John, and that's John the Baptist, and we're remembering how the heavens opened and remembering the presence of the Spirit, and you've done some wonderful work. And I've got Come and See. I hold this up. It's an invitation. Come and see. So I don't know what you make a covenant. If covenant's new to you, come and see. The covenant prayer isn't just see what happens when we pray this prayer and we pray it honestly. God will do amazing things in our lives. But generally, God says, come and see. Wow, that's your come and see there. Who's got the Lamb of God? Oh, yes. So remember, Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus is gentle and welcomes us. Okay. And, of course, those of us a little bit older understand there's a little bit more than that. Jesus dies for us, for our sins, so we can find our way with God. And we've got some colouring as well, being busy on the table. And of course, when we share this covenant prayer we're about to share, we're not just praying for ourselves, we're remembering how we look over others as well. So Jesus loves you. Wonderful. Yeah, are you singing? That's great. I've got lots of space for people to sing. Jesus loves you. I can tell my friends about Jesus' Bible colouring page. Now, guys, what we're going to do now is when we have something called a covenant prayer, which is quite wordy, I know you've been absolutely brilliant today, but it's a way of saying yes to Jesus in our hearts. So when you hear amen at the end, if you want to say a little amen in your heart, along with everyone else, you won't be the only one there, you're able to say that, and feel free to do so if you want to do that. If not, and it's gone a bit like, that's absolutely fine, but we thank God for you. Okay? Yes. Excellent. Got that. Yeah. Right. So I move on to our covenant prayer on page 287. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant, which God has made with us and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purpose for us and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me, and when there is none, when I am troubled, and when I'm at peace, your will be done, when I am valued, and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment, and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing. I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. If you turn the page, you'll find at the bottom of the next page our prayers for others. As we enter this covenant, not for ourselves alone, but as God's servants and witnesses, let us pray for the church and the world. Loving God, hear us that we pray as we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Make us all one that the world may believe. Inspire and lead all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Establish justice and peace among all people. Have compassion on all who suffer from any sickness, grief or trouble. Deliver them from their distress. We praise you for all your saints who've entered your eternal glory. Bring us all to share in your heavenly kingdom. And a moment of silence to pray for your own needs and the needs of others. Lord our God, you've helped us by your grace to make these prayers. And you have promised through Christ our Lord that when two or three agree in his name, you will grant what they ask. Answer now your servants' prayers according to their needs. In this world, grant that we may truly know you, and in the world to come, graciously give us eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord has made an everlasting covenant of peace with his people. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen. So with you. Amen. Amen. We will join together. We're going to sing the hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, as we prepare our hearts for communion. Now, an important note. I say important, it's hardly kind of groundbreaking, but you'll be aware that we used to have the offering plate here. and people used to give. We've now placed the offering plate at the rear of the church because we're aware that there's something really important about the giving people the opportunity to give, because some people give might want to give cash. We're talking about an offering made to God, yes, for the work of the church, but we offer our lives, and it's an important part of this service, though it feels a bit superfluous at a covenant service, because, but we think that's really important as well. But I thought it was really also important to acknowledge that there are plenty of us who give by standing order. So I think it's a bit awkward, isn't it? The collection plate goes round and you know, three or four. We talked about it at trustees. We do think it's important to circulate the collection plate. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm suggesting that that happens during our next hymn, and then I'll come and bless it at the front here, and we remember the offering that we've given. But in the meantime, we sing, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Thank you. Father, we offer our lives this day, and we also bring our gifts. We pray that both would be used for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do be seated. Now, as we share in communion, I just want to emphasise that all are welcome to receive. Simply, we believe that Christ is present in a special way as we see in bread and wine. If you're new to us, they share communion differently in all kinds of Methodist churches and URC churches. But in our church here, the communion stewards will come and we'll give you the bread. Now, you're not going to self-destruct if you eat the bread straight away, but we hold on to the bread together and we all share at one. And you'll see me lead the way and the communion stewards will share the bread. And then we'll bring the wine around as well. Just to make sure that folks feel, you know, welcome. Anyone is welcome to receive Jesus' present in a special way. I'd like to invite the communion stewards just to join me. Thank you. As we journey through our communion liturgy. I just realised you might need that. Thank you. And we'll remain seated. We're on page 292 if you're lost. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. God our Father, fountain of goodness, creator of all that is, you have made us in your own image. You've given us life and reason and love for one another, setting in our hearts a hunger for you. In our darkness, you are our light. In adversity and temptation, our strength. You bear patiently with our folly and sin, granting us your law to guide us and your prophets to renew our faith. In the fullness of time, you came to us in love and mercy, in Jesus Christ, your living word, full of grace and truth. He lived among us, declaring your forgiveness and revealing your wisdom in works of mercy and in his word of power. For us he suffered and died upon the cross, by death destroying death. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your people, gathered together in every time and place, to glorify your holy name. With them and all the company of heaven, we join in the unending hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, pour out your Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to all his disciples, saying, take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Lord, we obey his command with this bread and this cup, by which we recall the death and resurrection, the source of our life and salvation. Grant that we, who share in this holy sacrament, may be united by your Spirit and grow into perfect love. Bring us with those who have done your will in every age into the light of your presence and the joy of your kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour, glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught his disciples, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The things of God for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God the Father. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. Draw near with faith. You'll find a closing prayer for us before we sing our final hymn. Let us pray. Faithful God, with these holy gifts you have fed and strengthened us in Jesus Christ your Son. Guide us in all way with all your faithful people. Can you come to you? Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, it's been lovely to share with you today. Thank you for your diligence in it. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing properly. And there has been that real sense of being committed to journeying together. You know, if we want to acknowledge the kids, we need to allow a bit of space for that. It's been wonderful to share with you. Just a brief notice before the next time I join you, which will be in February. Oh dear, it's flying by. Benjamin is being dedicated. Yeah, so Benji just did. So we look forward to welcoming Benjamin, or it's really giving thanks for Benjamin's birth and God's presence with Benjamin as he grows stronger. Yes, looking at, we'll explain all that a little bit more, because you weren't expecting your name to come out, did you, Ben? Benjamin, there we are. So just to give notice that that will be happening, I'm suspecting that we might have people who want to, again, affirm their commitment to us as members of the church. We'll see what happens, but if that's you, then don't hesitate to raise a question with me or any of the other leaders in the church. The other good bit of good news is I went to Girls Brigade the other day. Yay! I did. They're such a lovely group. And Girls Brigade haven't had the opportunity to have their, the promises that the Girl Brigade make as leaders, leading the way for the young ones as well, who make their own promises. So it's not going to be a Girls Brigade parade service with girls, but we're going to have the girls with us, and we're going to make another promise there as leaders promise, and as we encourage the girls in their way. But it was such a lovely group to be at and pop in on, actually. So do bear this in my mind as we try and gel together. I said to Ruth yesterday, as we try and gel together a service that will also include Holy Communion there, but we'll make it happen and we'll make it flow well. Thank you so much to everyone who's made an effort, and well, you've all made an effort, but those especially who've read and been so flexible in allowing us to be able to do what we've done today. And it's been lovely, and well done to our young ones at the front here. Oh, I think you've done absolutely brilliantly. Really, really good. Okay, let's sing together before we close with a blessing. There is. Tony's moving me on. Oh, Jesus, I have promised. Come on, Amy, come on. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Blessing of God, The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and remain with us forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
Tea will be served, and coffee, and biscuits. Have a great day.